Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
What God is calling everybody who follows the Lord and trusts Him to do is to pattern your life in this way, that God brings difficulty, He brings blessing, provision, and our job is to simply rest in the Lord. Your rest is an act of worship. Rest in the finished work of what God has done.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. Having left everything behind as they fled years of bondage in Egypt, the Israelites soon discovered that in God, they were provided everything they needed. Though the wilderness wasn't easy, they would eventually come to see God's purpose even in that. But coming up, we'll begin to see how the Lord blessed them by meeting another important need. Rest. In fact, in our message today, Pastor Greg says resting in what God has done for us is a commandment meant for all who follow Him.
Message today is very simply this: God gives what is needed. Exodus 16, we're going to see exactly how and why and when God gives what is needed. First thing, verses 1 through 12, God gives what is needed. Specifically, God gives difficulty that is needed. And God is giving the people of Israel what they need. They need difficulty because there are things in their future they need to be ready for. So what happens is they're in the wilderness and they have no food and they're worried that they're going to starve to death. So they grumble to the Lord because their faith is so weak and so tenuous. Even though previously in a book of Exodus we talked about, they ran out of water. And what did God do? He provided them clean water even where there wasn't any. And so God is, what He's doing is taking them through a cycle over and over again. Take away what they need, give them difficulty, and then provide them the opportunity to trust Him and to see Him work. Look at verse 4 of Exodus 16, if you will. The Lord said to Moses, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. The people will go out and gather a day's portion that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So He's going to test them to see if they will be obedient. So He's going to put them in a testing situation to strengthen their muscles of faith. So He is sort of saying, I want to see what your response is going to be when you're in difficulty. But in addition, He says, I want you to be in difficulty so that I want you to work out your faith. Push it a little bit to see where your faith might grow. So He's actually training them. And here's the training cycle. Problem, provision. How do the Israelite people grow in their faith? God provides them with a problem, their faith is pushed, and then He provides for them, and they see how He provides. So God is giving them what they need here, which is difficulty. Take inventory of your Christian life, and you think of the ways God has grown your faith. Were they not mostly connected with the challenges you have faced? And would you rather have a life of ease and less faith, or would you rather have God take you through faith training, which must be difficulty? God gives us what is needed. God gives us difficulty that is needed. All right, let's keep moving on. If difficulty reveals God's purpose, then the nature of His provision reveals His kindness. Look back at Exodus 16. We're looking at verses 13 through 21. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, dew lay around the camp. When the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, a fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Thank you, Captain Obvious. All right. And Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. When they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. So what happened was, in the morning, you'd get up, and there was dew on the ground, and dew would lift, and there's the bread to collect. So they would gather this manna up. So here's how it is. You got, essentially, hard exactly to tell, but an omer per person. You know, an omer. So what it is, if you were a single guy, had your own tent, little bachelor pad out in the wilderness, you got to go out and gather an omer. You got one omer because you were one guy in a tent. And then next door to you is a family that's got 17 kids and two parents and two grandparents and an aunt and an uncle. And they go out in the morning and they're gathering omer on omer on omer. They got 37 omers in their tent. And the single guy's going, that's not fair. But the way it works is each person has a certain amount. Nobody had more than they needed, and nobody ran out before they were full. At the end of the day, you chuck what you didn't use. This manna will continue on a daily basis until they cross the Jordan River 40 years later. God was showing them through the nature of his providence that they could depend on him every single day for the rest of their life with him. And what God is teaching the people of Israel is something we need to understand in our own hearts. God is going to provide for us in a way that is a blessing, that is joyful. But we have to understand, no matter what God blesses with us, we go to bed every night depending on him in the morning for what we need for the next day. We fool ourselves if we go to bed and we think a pantry is full, everything's squared away. God wants us to be convinced that he is a good providing God and we can rest in him because he is going to give us what we need tomorrow. We must have God for our daily provision, regardless of what we might have. It is a mistake that we make when we think on any given day that we don't need God to survive. I trust that during this time in church you've been breathing. Who do you think has been giving you those breaths? Did you think it was your brilliance at knowing that you have to keep breathing and if you don't, you will die? How about your heart beating? Have you been paying attention to it? Now you are. Do we presume to think that our heartbeat and our breath is something we have managed to gain on our own? God makes it quite clear, every breath, every heartbeat, every meal we eat, he has provided to us in this moment, and had he chosen to, we wouldn't have it. And we make a severe mistake when we decide we don't need God to survive again this morning. We also make a mistake if we think God has not blessed us in a million wonderful ways, because that is his very nature. God blesses us with what is needed, and it actually leads to us depending on him more and not on ourselves. So God gives us what is needed. God gives us difficulty. God gives us blessing. Let's keep going. What could be better than blessing? It is rest. So look with me at verses 22 through 30 of Exodus 16. So this is an interesting thing that I personally think might be the most important part of this section. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread. Two omers each, and when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord says, tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake it what you will bake, boil what you will boil, all that is left over, lay aside and keep it till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, and what happens to it when you keep it overnight? It spoils, right? Not on Friday night. It didn't stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is the Sabbath of the Lord. You will not find it in the field. 6 days you gather it. On the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will not be any on the floor of the wilderness. On the seventh day, wouldn't you know it, some people went out to gather, but they found none. The Lord said to Moses, how long are these guys going to refuse to keep my commands and my laws? The Lord has given you rest, a Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain in your tent. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day, so the people rested. So it's a very simple process. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all the way to Friday, you go out every day, gather an omer. On Friday, you gather twice as much. And on Saturday, God has given very clear instructions. What are you supposed to do on Saturday? Chill, bro. Netflix a little or something. I don't know. Don't worry about it. You're covered. Let's see what they're thinking. Wait, I got twice as much left over. If I gather a little more, man, feast today. God's clear instructions were just rest. Look at Psalm 95, verses 6 to the end of the psalm. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. What does a shepherd do for sheep? In a pasture, he gives them food to eat. So the psalmist is saying, we're his sheep, and he pastures us. Verse 8, today if you hear your voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness. That's when they ran out of water. When your fathers put me to the test and you put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore I swore an oath, they shall not enter my rest. What he is calling the people of Israel to do, what God is calling everybody who follows the Lord and trusts him to do, is to kneel down and simply be fed, to trust in the Lord, to rest in the Lord. He is saying to pattern your life in this way, that God brings difficulty, he brings blessing, he brings provision, and our job is to simply rest in the Lord. On the Sabbath day, on that Saturday, the people of Israel, their job was to sit in their lazy boy and get up and snack on some manna. It's not a bad deal. They were to do no gathering. God was telling them, I rested on the seventh day of creation. I want you to also rest. Your rest is an act of worship. I think this is amazing. Some of us think the Bible is a book of rules, of do's. Do this, do that, do this. Here's the most important rule of the Bible. Don't do anything. Rest in the finished work of what God has done. He has given you your manna. You're squared away. Sit down and enjoy it. God is saying, I'm going to provide you enough. Not only that, I am going to command you on one day in particular to just trust me when nothing shows up. You will have enough if you will rest in me. You will have enough if you will trust me. God gave them this command, stay in your tent, enjoy your family, eat your manna. And on that day, people got up. And what did God say? Remember that? Exodus 16. How long will these people fail to listen to me? God is literally telling them to take a day off, to rest in him, and because they have not yet trusted him, it's very, very difficult to do. Hebrews 4:10, but I'm going to start reading two verses earlier. If Joshua had given the people of Israel rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, that is you and I. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Faith in Christ is what brings to us God's rest. When we trust Jesus on the cross, he said, it is finished. And when we trust him, we can rest and say, it really is finished. He really did pay for my sin and make sure that by trusting in him, I have access to God himself and the glories of heaven when I die. I can rest in him. Faith and trust is what brings us into the rest of God. Trust in Christ and what he did on the cross. In fact, Paul says this in Ephesians 1:18. I think that's going to be on the screen as well. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I'm going to read one more verse. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might through Christ Jesus. So faith for us today, resting in Christ today, is this. Seeing the inheritance we have in Christ with eyes of faith, with the same certainty we see the world around us today. Heaven is not a pipe dream. Life with God forever is not a fantasy that just helps us get through another day. The kingdom of God, one day coming on this earth, where we get to reign with Jesus forever, ought to be our goal and our anticipation, and we should see that with eyes of faith as clearly as we see the challenges we face today. We can be assured that in Christ we one day look forward to the final rest we have forever with him. To live in Christ is to live in rest. It's not what we're supposed to do, it's what Jesus has done. But we discover that Jesus compared himself to manna over and over again, and he said, I am the real bread. When we partake of Christ, we have a certainty in faith of knowing that he has filled us with hope because he covered all of our sin. We have hope because he is raised from the dead. And we can rest in him. If you define the Christian life as how much can I do to make God happy, you've missed it. If you define the Christian life as, holy cow, look what Jesus did to make God happy, you have found rest. God gives rest that is needed. All right, let's look at the last section, verses 31 through 36. It says, now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and it tasted like it was wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the Lord. This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. People of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Oh, and by the way, an omer is a tenth part of the ephah. Oh, thank you. That really made that much more clear. So here's what they did. They gathered a jar of it so they'd remember what the manna was. And they put it by the testimony. So when you gathered manna and you kept it overnight, what happened to it? It stinketh. What about that manna that they put by the testimony? What happened to that? 40 years, and it was fresh as the day they gathered it. So over and over again in this narrative account, God is trying to impress on us he is in charge of the provision. And God is calling us to do one thing that I would recommend is sort of how we can settle in on what God has for us. Can we do the one thing that God is asking for us to do in Exodus 16? Can we rest and can we remember? Can we rest that God has provided? Can we rest knowing God always will provide? And do we have the willingness to remember how God has provided over and over again? Now, there's something we do once a month to be sure that we do this. What do? We celebrate communion. And some of us think we celebrate communion because we're good Christians and we're religious people. We celebrate communion to remember what? Just how badly we needed to be saved by Jesus. Communion is intended to remind us we need Jesus as much today as we did the day we were saved, and we can rest as much today in Christ as the day that we were saved. God gives us what is needed. God gives us a reminder that we need his rest and his provision. Okay, just a couple of things to drop in your head, ways of applying this in your own life. I listed out here, actually the staff helped me with this too, enemies of rest. Enemies of rest. I'm going to list here enemies of rest. Envy. Jealousy. Envy. If I believe God is dealing with somebody else better than he is dealing with me, I am not at rest. He got 10 omers of manna. I only got one. God, that's not fair. I've now left rest. Envy. Discontentment. We're going to see this throughout the wilderness wanderings. We see this in our own lives. God has blessed us, but after a while, manna just starts to taste like manna. And you know, honey is good until all you have is honey. And after a while, it starts to taste kind of foul. Discontentment is an enemy of rest. Fear. Did God really say he would provide what I need? I'm not sure if he's going to come through. Fear is an enemy of rest. Pride is an enemy of rest. God is lucky I'm on his team. And boy, with me, he doesn't have to provide a lot because I took care of most of it. He's just got to make up the difference every now and then. Pride is an enemy of rest. James 4:1 says this, what causes quarrels and fights among you? He's speaking to a church. Certainly there's some very religious things that they were fighting over. Here's what they were fighting over. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. We're moved by selfishness and envy and greed and discontentment. We leave rest and then we take it out on the people around us. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see a movie made about the life of Caleb in the wilderness. Do you remember Caleb? Caleb and Joshua were the two that went into the promised land, and they said, Oh, we got this thing. Let's go get after it. And 10 of the other spies who went to the promised land said, we're dead. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and the people rebelled against God. 40 years of wandering later, Caleb goes into the promised land. He's now 80 years old, and he says, hey, Joshua, by the way, God said, I get any the land I walked on. I want Horeb, where the giants live. Okay, yeah, knock yourself out, Caleb. And he goes and takes Horeb, 80 years old, knocking giants down. I would have loved to see Caleb. What was Caleb doing on Saturday when he had the manna stored up? Sitting on his lazy boy. It's just tasty. Was the wilderness hard for Caleb? Well, as hard as anybody else. But what did he care? For whatever reason, God has worked into his life. He's like, it's just the desert again. Bread's going to show up tomorrow. May as well enjoy the walk. And he gave us a day off to sit around and eat extra honey. Because some of us think there's no way you could enjoy the wilderness. Well, you can if God has every moment mapped out and you're okay with it. And I'd love to see what Caleb was doing with that. Last verse, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 14. This is what Jesus said. Jesus heard what he did, and he withdrew to a desolate place, and the crowds came around him, and they followed him. He went ashore, and he saw the crowd, and he had compassion on them. Healed some of them, and evening came, and the disciples came to him, and he said, boy, this place is really deserted. Send the crowds away, and the disciples say, send the crowds away that they buy food for themselves. And Jesus said, why don't you give them something? And they're like, listen, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, Jesus is doing with his disciples what the Lord was doing with the people of Israel in the wilderness. He's going, you don't have to worry about it. And Jesus divided it up, and everybody went hungry, right? No, there were leftovers on leftovers. Here's the thing, because some of us are going, well, my Christian life could not possibly just be about rest. You have to do something. We don't do something. Here's the thing we do. We rest, and because God is so awesome that he gave us rest, we then do something, and we call it this, worship. Worship is merely saying, if God gave me rest, how can I say to him, man, you're awesome. Well, I might give some money to a guy who doesn't have so much. I might volunteer some time at an organization who needs me. I might give somebody else a little bit of patience and forgiveness because God has been so good to me and given me so much rest. I can worship by doing those things which are very similar to what God likes to do. So Jesus calls his disciples to worship him by feeding people in the wilderness the same way he fed people in the wilderness. He's not calling them to work. He's calling them to rest and worship him by acting the way he acts. So actually what we do comes out of rest, where we then get to worship God.
Pastor Greg Spires showing the example of the Israelites in the wilderness, how God meets our every need from now and into eternity. And we hope you'll stay with us as Pastor Greg has some closing comments in just a moment. You know, many families in the Southern Oregon community, along with areas around Oregon, have been impacted by the wildfires this last fall. For example, in addition to the hundreds of homes that were lost, as many as 3,000 of our fellow citizens were displaced. And if you'd like to help support the efforts of recovery, we have a place on our Lasting Hope website where you can donate directly to this effort. Every dollar you donate will go directly to meeting the needs of the victims recovering from these devastating fires. You can just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Wildfire Recovery. Greg Spires is the lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. And we also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Once again, just go to lastinghope.org. Finally, Lasting Hope is committed to bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to know God, we have a special page on our website that will walk you through the steps to knowing God. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Knowing God.
Well, here now is Pastor Greg with a parting challenge to close out our time together.
God gives us all we need. First thing, what does he give to us? You tried to forget it already. He gives us difficulty that we need. God also gives us blessing that we need. I know we have experienced great blessing in our lives. God gives us rest that we need. And finally, God gives us a reminder that we need over and over again, him. So here's the last question. If you have God, you have all you need. So the only question you have to ask yourself is, do you have God? If you want to find rest, it will be found in Christ alone. God gives us what we need.
Pastor Greg Spires closing out a message titled, God Gives Us What Is Needed, here on Lasting Hope. And that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our time in the book of Exodus. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.